Genesis chapter 13 for the preaching of the word of God. We've been discussing getting back on track. And Abraham got a little bit off track here in Genesis chapter 13. Don't act like you've never been off track. But aren't you glad you can get back on track? Amen. It takes work. And we're looking here in Genesis chapter 13 and seeing how, just how Abraham did that. Now look at verse number 8. Abraham said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. If thou wilt depart on the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plains of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. And Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land, in the length of it, and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abram removed his tent, and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. Let the church say amen. Our Father, we pray that you add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing, and I need you to do it. Lord, these services are not time fillers. We don't want to just have church. We want to have an encounter with you. Help us. Help us to come. If we come expecting nothing, we might not get anything. But if we're looking for something, surely you'll give it to us. Fill our cups and let them run over. And take glory from it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. We're watching in this book of the beginnings one of these great patriarchs. God is going to begin the nation of Israel in a man called Abram. He found Abram in the earth of the Chaldees and led him and his wife out of there and told them to go to a land that he would show them. Canaan would be that land. God sent him to a land where God would bless him. God gave him a covenant. And yet when he arrived there, there were people already in the land that was supposed to be his. How many of you know sometimes God says he's going to give you something, but that doesn't mean you're not going to have to fight for it. And so there are Canaanites in the land. And yet this is where God told him to be. And he confirms the promise. You're in the right place. Just because there are problems, just because there are obstacles, just because there are difficulties, just because everything isn't smooth doesn't mean it's not the will of God. Sometimes serving God comes with some problems. Somebody say amen. And yet God says go there. And of course, Abraham goes. He's got Lot with him. And we understand that God is doing something in his life. And God is showing him that he's going to covenant with him and bless him and make of him a great nation. And through him, all the peoples of the earth shall be blessed. He builds an altar to the Lord and he praises God for what God is doing. And lo and behold, in that land comes a famine. No food. And Abraham's first thought is, I know God led me here, but he must have not thought about the famine. Do you realize that nothing happens in your life that God didn't already think about? And yet he leaves Canaan and he goes to Egypt. That was a mistake. Don't leave the place where God sent you. And yet he goes down to Egypt looking for food and he gets into trouble. He says, Sarah, they're going to see how beautiful you are. And if they say how beautiful you are, they're going to take you. That's not going to be good for me. So when they ask you who you are, you say you're my sister. So by doing that, they won't bother you and we'll be fine. And of course, the king takes her and the king gets judged and Abram's lie gets found out. And all of a sudden he realizes it wasn't such a good decision to go down to Egypt. So in Genesis chapter 13, we're looking at Abram getting back on track. By the way to get back on track is a proper return. Go back where you were in the first place. Amen. You find yourself moving away from God. Find yourself making some decisions that are contrary to the Word of God. Go back to where you belong. By the way, a good place to go is go back to the Word of God. Go back to the work of God. Go back to the things that work. By the way, the Bible has always worked. Amen. And so he has a proper return. He admits that he did wrong. He remembers the altar. Amen. He revives his affection. He has a reverential attitude. He goes back to where he belonged. And when he goes back to where he belongs, he goes back to Bethel. He finds that place where he had first seen that altar. He goes back to that place. He calls on the name of the Lord. And guess who's with him, Lot? He's got riches that he gained in Egypt. Substance, a supply. But with more substance and more supply comes more stress. Amen. Be careful about asking God for too much. It might be more than you can handle. And Abraham's got a lot of stress because his riches and Lot's riches bring about resentment. So the servants of Abram and the servants of Lot can't get along. Isn't it amazing how money stops people from getting along? And here we have two families. By the way, it's good to be reminded that there's no reason to let money keep you from getting along with somebody else because both of y'all got what you got from God in the first place. Amen. Every good and every perfect gift comes from above. So God is the one that blesses. Abraham got his blessings from God, and Lot got his blessings from hanging with Abraham. Sometimes we just make out from hanging out with the right people. And that's exactly what happened. And yet these herdmen can't get along. There's resentment that takes place. And all of a sudden the Bible says that Abraham notices this is not good. We've got common success, but we've got coveted space. Your servants want where my servants want to be. And my servants aren't getting along with your servants. We've got competitive strife. And yet the Bible says in this land where we're arguing, the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelt in the land. In other words, you got the people of God that are arguing and the people of the world are watching. What an embarrassment it is for God, for Christian people to have a harder time getting along than lost people do. They're watching. The Canaanite and the Perizzite were there. So all of a sudden, this poisonous resentment that exists between these two families instigates Abraham making some peacemaking rationale. I want you to notice what the Bible says. Let there be no strife, verse number 8. His genuine plea is, I don't want to see friction. By the way, I worry about Christian people that enjoy friction, enjoy fighting, enjoy conflict. Watch it now. Enjoy drama. Some Christian people love drama. Why? Because they're not busy doing anything for God, so they need drama. Listen to me, the busier you are for God, the less time you have for drama. Somebody say amen. Abraham said, we don't need to argue. Let there be no strife between me and thee, my herdman and your herdman. And he says, is not the whole land before you? Notice he said, this is not good. We're making a mockery of God. Notice his gentle proposal. Separate yourself. He wasn't trying to be rude. He said, maybe if we separate, we won't argue. Maybe if we separate, we won't disgrace God. His gracious politeness. By being the oldest, he had the right to pick his land. He stepped back and said, no, I won't use my elder privilege. You can pick first, Lot. Boy, it's hard to find peacemakers anymore. I said it's hard to find peacemakers anymore. Hey, I'll tell you what a peacemaker is. A peacemaker is somebody who has a right to do something, but foregoes his right to do something to avoid conflict with somebody else. Amen. You say, well, I've never been in one of those opportunities. You do every day when you get on the highway. Come on now. I mean, you may have a right to the lane, but sometimes your right isn't what you should be concentrating on. You ought to be concentrating on your testimony. Amen. Not every hill is worth dying for, dying on. And Abram says, no, I'm going to be polite. I'm going to let you pick, Lot. You can decide where you're going to go. If you pick the right, I'll pick the left. If you pick the left, I'll pick the right. By the way, they'll know that we're Christians by our love one for another. There's nothing Christian about being nasty and being ugly and being unkind. Well, I'm the boss. That doesn't mean you can't be a blessing. Well, I'm in charge. That doesn't mean you can't let somebody else go first. Well, I was here first. That doesn't mean you can't get in the back of the line. Abram says, Lot, I'll let you pick. May God give us some peacemakers today. And by the way, everywhere around us, right here in America and all over the world, you know, we're seeing conflict. Don't you wish we had a world without war? A world without conflict? I'll tell you where conflict comes. The scripture is very clear in Proverbs. Only by pride cometh contention. Fights are always stirred up by pride. And the best way to keep fights from getting stirred up is to swallow your pride. But I'm right. Listen to me. It's not about being right. I'm not saying you ought to compromise. I'm not saying you ought to condone sin. But it wouldn't hurt some of us every once in a while for the sake of Christ and the glory of God to step back from our rights to be a blessing to somebody. We're going to watch Lot in what I call a pivotal regression here. He starts going down. Beloved, you start trying to get back on track with God, I want to tell you something. When you start getting back where you belong with God, you're going to end up getting away from people that don't want to be on track. This is his nephew. He brought him with him from the Ur of the Chaldees. He's had him following with him all this time. They went down to Egypt. They both prospered. They're back in Canaan. They've been in Bethel. Where Abraham is, Lot is. When Lot's been blessed, it's because Abraham's been blessed. But wait a minute now. God is trying to take Abraham somewhere, and he can't take Abraham where he wants to take him as long as Lot's around. Could I tell you there's some Christians that will never get where they belong because they won't break ties with some people who are no good? You better be careful. You better be careful that you don't miss your inheritance running around with a knucklehead. Amen. And watch this now. I think God's given us some help here. He didn't just have to break ties with somebody who worked with him that went to a different house at the end of the day. He had to break ties with family. No, I'm not saying you can't talk to him. I'm just simply saying you can't go where God wants you to go, linked up with people who don't want to go with you. Amen. And some of the greatest decisions you ever make in your life is say, listen, I'm going with God. If you're not going with God, you ain't going with me. And I'm certainly not staying with you. And so we find here that Lot's going to enter into a pivotal regression. I want you to notice something that I saw here in Genesis chapter 13. Go back in the earlier verses. He went back to Bethel, verse 4. Back to Bethel was unto the place of the what, verse 4? Huh? Talk to me. Unto the place of the what? The altar. Go back where you met with God. Amen. Now, the Bible says Abraham called on the name of the Lord because he had gone back to the place where he made an altar. Look what verse 5 says. Lot also, which went with Abram. Look what Lot had. He also had flocks. He had herds. He had tents. Never said he had an altar. See, you can be enjoying blessings because of somebody else, but you won't be able to handle them if you don't have an altar. So, Pastor, what do you mean? I'm simply saying you can get all the blessings you want from God you want, but if you don't have a relationship with God, you won't know what to do with them. Amen. And that's why sometimes God doesn't bless some of us as Christians, because he knows in order to handle the blessings, we need a proper relationship with him. So we find out the regression in Lot's life was without a doubt because of a worshipful lack in his life. He had herds. He had servants. He had flocks. He had animals. But he didn't have a relationship. relationship with God, ladies and gentlemen, there is no safer protection from reverting and from backsliding other than a bona fide, consistent, vibrant, authentic relationship with God. I'm not just talking about coming to church, carrying a Bible. I'm talking about your Bible carrying you. I'm not just talking about knowing the words of the soul. I'm talking about knowing the God of the soul. And he didn't have a relationship. He was riding the wave. I'm afraid there are a lot of Christians in church, but they're riding the wave. I'm in here. That ain't enough. You can't just be in here. You need to be in there. Amen. You can't just be in church. You need to be in Christ. You can't just be in the right place. You got to be in tune with the right person. Come on now. The Christian life has never been about a bunch of rules and regulations. It's always been about a relationship with God. And at the end of the day, it's more than just about what we don't do or where we don't go or what we do wear or what we don't wear. It's about getting up every day and walking with God. And it's amazing. Lot had walked with somebody that walked with God, yet not actually walk with God himself. You will not be spiritual just because you have spiritual friends. You will not love God just because your parents love God. You will not be in the will of God just because your husband's in the will of God. You will not be in the will of God just because your wife's in the will of God. You will not be blessed by God just because your preacher's in the will of God. You will not be blessed by God just because you got a religious family. You have to get up every day and determine by your own will. You're going to walk with God for yourself. You're going to get in this Bible for yourself. You're going to get on your knees for yourself. Because there's coming a day where if you don't have something grounded and rooted in your relationship with God, something else will look better. So with a worshipful lack, he takes a worldly look. Now look at chapter 13, verse number 10. And Lot did what? And Lot did what? Lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan. It was what? Well watered. Where? Everywhere. Huh. Look here. Isn't it amazing how good the world looks when God stops looking good? See, you take your eyes off of God, it'd be bad stuff look good. And it'd be good stuff look bad. Watch it, young people. You take your eyes off of God, you'd be mad at your parents and happy with them sorry friends. Listen now. Your perspective changes based on your outlook. Listen to me. Outlook determines outcome. You remember that? Outlook determines outcome. A lot of people say, I don't see it that way. You don't see it that way because you're not looking the right way. It's amazing why Abraham saw it right and Lot saw it wrong. Can two people sit in the same church, hear the same sermon, and have two different perspectives? Absolutely. Can somebody leave the service and say, boy, that message was good. It sure hit my heart. Can somebody else leave the same service, listen to the same message, and that message was bad. I didn't like any bit of it. Well, everybody's got their own opinion. Church is not for you to have your opinion. Church is for you to agree with God's facts. Amen. See, so when I come into church, my outlook has got to be, God is right. One of my favorite verses in Psalm 119, and it's a great psalm. 176 verses or so. One of my favorite verses is the verse that David says, therefore I have esteemed all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. Boy, you can't say it too much better than that. He said, God, let me tell you what I've landed on. I've landed on the fact that concerning everything about all things, you are always right. How many of you can say with confidence tonight, God's always right? You say, well, why do I go wrong? Because we choose to disagree with him. Lot said, well, look good over there. Well, them planes look good. Worshipful lack. Boy, you better check your worship tonight. Check your worship tonight. I didn't say check your singing. I didn't say check your waving. I check your worship. Worship is not just a song. Worship is something that happens in your heart. Come on. Well, Pastor, I don't have much worship in me. I'm tired. That's the time you need to worship. Amen. Somewhere in the Bible, I think it's in Nehemiah chapter 8, the Bible said, run out of energy. You might not have any of the joy of the Lord. Amen. Yeah. I can tell. You don't have to have everything going your way to have joy. Come on. If you're waiting for that day, you might as well just wait till you get to heaven. Because there'll never be a day when everything goes your way. Be careful when you start looking at Christians. I know where they got joy. They got everything go their way. They may have more problems than you do. They just got a different outlook. Amen. I mean, Job was down and out. I'm talking about he lost his animals, his barns, his 10 kids, and everything he owned. And he found it out in one conversation. And yet he said, blessed be the name of the Lord. Naked came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He still had joy, not because he had stuff, but because he had the God that could give him all that stuff back. Lot says, looks good. Listen, don't you ever underestimate the danger of one wrong look. Well, it's just a look. Be careful. I said, be careful. I've heard some men say, well, it's okay if I look as long as I don't touch. What Bible are you reading? And by the way, even if looking wasn't wrong and only touching was, looking is an avenue to touching. Come on. The eye looks at what the heart wants. Somebody better say amen. And you look long enough, you're going to want it bad enough. And you want it bad enough, you'll do anything to get it. He looked. He liked what he saw. I think there were other occurrences in the Bible where somebody looked and liked what she saw. Don't eat off of that tree in the middle of the garden. For the day you eat off it, you shall surely die. The Bible says Eve saw the fruit and it was pleasant to the eyes. I wonder if there's a child of God that's about ready to leave Canaan because you like something you saw. Well, it ain't right, but it looks good. By the way, how many of us have learned very clearly and repetitively that we don't need everything we want? Matter of fact, there's a whole bunch of stuff we want that ain't good for us. I mean, we're driving back today, and I didn't eat breakfast this morning. And we're driving, riding. I'm trying to get up the road. And I'm finally trying to get to Chick-fil-A because I just believe God's in it. Amen. And which was great. And I got off, and I saw Chick-fil-A. But on the way to Chick-fil-A, Krispy Kreme. The car just started turning. I wasn't even turning. It just started turning. But I didn't go. Somebody come on, say amen. I mean, it wouldn't hurt for you to clap right there, to be honest with you. Amen. Hey, that's a sympathy clap, huh? Do you realize if we got everything we wanted, we wouldn't be here? Now, here's what we're going to find out about Lot. Not only does getting everything we want mess us up, but it causes us to miss out on what God had for us. It looks good. They're well watered. I like what I see. A worshipful lack, a worldly look, a woeful leave. Notice what the Bible said. He liked it. He looked at it. And he left. Well, what's the big deal? I mean, I don't have to hang with Uncle Abe for my whole life. Wait a minute now. Everything you got because you're with Abraham. So you got a few herds and a few servants and a few blessings, and you think since you got a bunch of stuff, you don't need Abraham before. Be careful when you separate from good stuff. It might be the moment that you're exposed to the fact that you weren't the reason you got it in the first place. Amen. I'm out of here. Well, where are you going? I'm going towards Sodom. And Lot, verse number 12, pitched his tent. What's the next word? Toward. Not to it. Towards it. That's all the devil wants you to do. He's not going to beam you from here to there. He just won't get you started that direction. Just go towards it. I said to somebody recently, you don't fall right out of church. You just start missing here and there. He's a great convincer. Ain't that big of a deal. I mean, ain't one time ain't a big time. Ain't two times ain't a big time. Ain't three times. Do you really think a drunk became a drunk on the first drink? And a thief became a kleptomaniac on the first theft? I'm just simply saying the best way not to become a drunk is not to drink. The best way not to be an addict is never to take it the first time. Come on now. What's wrong over there? Y'all laughing. Brother Jefferson, I don't know why they always look at you when I talk about drunks. But anyway, I'm just... Bless his heart. Amen. I told you not to take that first one. Anyway, I'm just simply saying, folks, one time is always too many. He looked. He longed. He left. He leaned. Do you see the regression of Lot? He's going further down, further down, further down. And by the way, he was a prime candidate for looking at the wrong stuff when he lacked the right kind of worship. You put your Bible down, you'll be a candidate to look at the wrong stuff. Amen. I get people calling me all the time. I don't know what the problem is. I can't get off this stuff. I can't keep clicking on these wrong sites. I keep saying I'm going to stop and I keep going back to it. I keep saying I'm going to quit and I keep falling back into it. And ladies and gentlemen, it is always an immediate step when you walk away from the Word of God. You stay in this book. This book will keep you from sin, but sin will keep you from this book. And everybody wants to go down the road and find some preacher to give them some sophisticated formula on how to walk with God. Give me some fancy program. Slap me upside the head. Anoint me with some oil. Let me tell you something. That program will come out with a new program. That oil will dry up when you get ashy. But this word will last. God help us. Lot's going to learn the hard way. You start looking, you start leaving. You start leaving, you'll start leaning. And before long, you'll go from a lack to a look to a leave to a lean to a bad location. And you'll be like some Christian. How did I get here? It's like a boat on the water. You can't feel yourself drifting till you can't see the shore. And the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked. How did I get here? Follow the story of Lot. He looked. He leaned. Next time you see Lot, he's in Sodom. Before long, he's working for Sodom. Come on now. Now he's got kids in Sodom. Lost his wife in Sodom. You better do your homework before you leave. The place God puts you. It's dangerous. Notice lastly the providential results. Abraham dwelt. Oh, watch this now. Lot left, Abraham stayed. Have you read your Bible? It never pays to leave the place God puts you. Trials are going to come. Difficulties are going to come. Struggles are going to come. The place, listen to me, the place God puts you is always the place of godliness and righteousness and purity and holiness. It's the place of walking with Him. It's the place of being faithful to Him. It's the place of soul winning, of service, of tithing, of giving, of worshiping. That's the place. Notice what the scripture said. Abraham stayed. Lot dwelt in the cities of Sodom. Now look at verse number 14. And the Lord said, and I love this expression, this prepositional phrase, the Lord said to Abram, clarify yourself, God, after that Lot was separated from you. It's almost, have you ever been talking to someone with a third party standing there? And you really wanted to get deep into the conversation, but we can't talk like we really want to talk while what's the name all up in the... And some people just don't know how to catch cues. Well, we better, it's getting a little late. They're still standing there. By the way, if you walk up to the pastor, he's having a deep conversation with somebody, it'd probably be good for you to walk away. That's, I'm just, that was free. But anyway, with anybody. I mean, if you see somebody in a deep conversation, the smart thing to do ain't to walk and stand up beside, behind them and stare in the conversation. That's just not good social skills. Amen. Don't we teach our children that? Mom and daddy talking. Stay out of grown folk business. Don't we tell them that? Well, you don't just stay out of grown folk business. You're supposed to stay out of other people's business. Amen. There's Bible for that. That you study to be quiet and to mind your own business. That's in the scripture. How about that study to be quiet? How many of us have studied to be quiet? That's a whole nother message. And a whole nother testament. Amen. But it's almost like Lot leaves and God goes, hey, Abram, now we can talk. I just wonder if there aren't some Christians in the building tonight that God has some deep conversations he wants to have with you, but he can't have them with you while you're hanging with that person. It could be somebody you're dating. Amen. And I don't want to say it's somebody you married to because you can't, you know. You in now. You can't tell them to go, but you can have some nice talks with God when they walk out the room. After Lot had separated from him. And by the way, here's what I see about a godly, loving Christian. He's never condescending and arrogant, saying, get away from me, I'm better than you. He always lets the principles of God and the will of God be the dividing and the deciding factor. Come on. Boy, it'd be easy for us to walk around and say, I'm a Christian, I can't hang with you because I'm better than you. It should never be that. It should always be the will of God. See, you don't really have to do too much about getting people to get away from you if you just stay committed to the will of God. After a while, they'll find out how you living and how I'm living, just don't go together. So I'm just going to go ahead and leave. After Lot had departed, Abram, there's a proclamation from God that's intimate. And the Lord said, can I ask you a question? How much do you think Lot heard from God in Sodom? The worst thing about being out of the will of God is not being able to hear his voice. And the Lord said, wouldn't it like God, right after Lot left, to show up to Abram and say, he's gone, but you did right to stay. The immutable promise. I'm sorry, the indescribable preview. Lift up your eyes. Boy, I like this. Don't listen, there's no need to add to the word of God. It's all there. Lift up now thine eyes and look. Notice what the Bible said. From the place where thou art. Boy, isn't that precious? God said, I want you to see how I'm going to bless you right from where you are. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't have to go run somewhere to see God's blessings. God will show them to you right from where you are. Lift up your eyes. Look northward. Look southward. Look eastward. Look westward. Everywhere you can see, look at it. Wasn't it like God to give Abraham a preview? Listen to me now. God doesn't have to give us a preview, but every once in a while, he drops into our lives a handful of purpose, a blessing out of nowhere. And it's like God saying, lift up your eyes. I want to show you what I'm going to do for you. Immutable promise. For all the land which thou seest will I give to thee. Infinite perpetuity and to thy seed forever. Innumerable posterity. If you can count the dust, you'll be able to count your seed. We all know you can't count the dust. In other words, God said, I'm going to multiply you so much you can't even count it. Incredible processional. Now walk through it. I like this. Walk through it. The length of it, the breadth of it, I will give it to thee. Oh, I like this. Amen. Through it. God said, you see that land where you're walking? It's going to be yours. Hey, let me tell you something. You don't need the world to give you what God can give you. Amen. And the instinct priority is that Abram finishes hearing this wonderful blessing from God, witnessing these providential results. He removed his tent, came to the plain of Mamre, which is Hebron, and built an altar unto the Lord. The priority of worship, Abram said, God's the one that blesses me. God's the one that provides for me. God's the one that takes care of me. And the God that takes care of me is the God I'm going to praise. And let me close with this. We're watching two different people that live two different ways. And God's giving us two different kinds of Christians. Lot lived for self. Abram lived for others and for God. Lot walked by sight. Abram walked by faith. Lot chose where he wanted to go. Abram let God choose for him. Do you know that he ain't never made a wrong choice? Lot lifted up his eyes to see the world. Abram lifted up his eyes to see the holy heavenly city of God. Lot chose the land of the world and lost everything. God gave Abram the whole land. Amen. Lot said, I will take. God said to Abraham, I will give. Lot lost his family. Abraham's family was so large, he couldn't count it. Lot looked for what was possible. And Abraham, because of God, enjoyed the impossible. You have to make some choices. And you ain't going to find out the end of the story till after you've made the right choice at the beginning. And you can sit around and say, God ain't going to do this and God ain't going to do that. And I don't see how this is going to happen because of that. If you could see how it's going to happen, it wouldn't be faith. It's a spiritual business. God is preparing Abraham because for the rest of his life, he's going to have to learn to walk by faith. Somebody in the building tonight, God's going, go on. Go on over there. Walk north, walk south, walk east. I'm going to bless you. Well, God, I don't really see how you're going to bless me because I ain't nothing there yet. Come on now. If you and I could see what we see now, way back when we started following the Lord, we'd have started sooner. Well, he's done more for us than we could have ever conceptualized. And yet, it's a walk of faith. And just maybe tonight, maybe, God can't even begin to discuss it with you till you get Lot out the conversation. Amen. Amen. No time then Lot left, God started talking. And by the way, can you imagine Lot later down the road going, if I had stayed with Abraham, how much different the Bible would have sounded when they called my name. I know there are Christians today. They have wandered to Sodom and Gomorrah. And now that they've been there, they wish they'd never left. Don't you be a Lot. Be Abram. We walk by faith and not by sight. Our Father, thank you. Our faith is tested and tried. And we're so often challenged. But sometimes it's our own failures that limit your blessing. Give us enough grit and enough guts to even separate from those we love as to not compromise the God we serve. Bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen.